Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Backpack Broadcasting continues to bring you the best original sports content, but now you can get more of the content you love. For as little as $3 a month, you can get access to bonus content, including behind-the-scenes footage and interviews from the Sports Walk, Sideline Stories, or the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. All this exclusive content comes via Patreon. There are tiered levels of patronage, and each Backpack Broadcasting patron receives exclusive perks. Your support helps Backpack Broadcasting create more of the original content that you love. Visit Backpack Broadcasting's Patreon page and become a patron today. Hard to Tell podcast episode 147. Dexter Henry, Brian Fonseca. You know, we're still doing the thing where we're quarantining, doing this remotely. And we have a guest who, if you've listened to the past couple of episodes when we had Sarah Kustak on, and you know, from another friend, Michelle Yu, I should have had this guest on a long time ago. Good friend of mine, great supporter when I was around covering the Jets, always talked to me. Super nice. One of the nicest women you'll find in the industry. And I feel like I'm pouring it on now because, you know, she should have been on. I need to. I apologize. I'm going to start off by saying this. I'm apologizing to our guest, Janae Coakley, one of the best SNY reporter and host, who I said should have been on here a long time ago. And Michelle Yu, good friend of mine, told me I should have had this done a while ago. And it didn't happen, Janae. I'm sorry. But you still showed me love. You still love me, and you came on. So thank you.
How much did Sarah and Michelle have to guilt you into this? I mean, or am I like the backup to the backup to the backup? Or are you trying to get after Scott Farrell? Are you trying to get my husband on?
No. And I like Scott.
Sarah, like, guilted you so much. You want my husband, or you just had no other options because the Jets were so bad on yesterday?
No, it had nothing to do with that. I wanted you on for about 2 years, and it just didn't make it work because it's my fault, you know? And the second time Michelle was on this podcast.
You never reached out to me. Do you hear this?
Ah, now she put me out there. I didn't. Yeah, to put it like this, Janae was surprised to hear from me. That's how you know it was bad. Janae?
I'm like, oh, they're so – I'm like, guys. I've never been asked. What are you talking about?
But you're here now.
I am here now. And you know what? Episode 147, you know what? I'll take it.
We're happy that you're here. How are you? How are you, Janae?
I'm doing great. I feel it might be a long Jet season, so I'm just bracing myself for that. But, you know, I can't complain. Life is good. Healthy kids. Healthy, so that's all that matters.
Healthy and safe is what matters. Brian, how are you doing this week? You good?
Maintaining.
All right, you're good.
Doing all right, getting stuff done. Are you still a Jet fan, by the way, Dexter? We're gonna get to that. Don't worry. We're gonna.
I've kind of moved a little bit off of that. Let's put it like that.
We're gonna get to that.
Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Because then I gotta tell Janae. We'll get to this later when we talk about the Jets. I gotta tell Janae about like my past Jet fandom.
Yes.
And why it's past. past tense.
Well, as long as
I guess that's why I haven't been on the show, because I just bring up too many hard memories, like too many bad memories, because I cover the Jets. Is that but what
you,
it is?
You know,
that
I don't.
That wasn't a me thing. That was not a me
so
thing.
So Brian's going to just totally put it on me now. I see.
You know Janae.
I'll be dabbling this out every so often.
But Janae, what I will say though is, as long as I've known you and when I was around and covering the Jets, we had some good runs with the team and a couple of AFC championship appearances, and we had some good coverage up at training camp in Cortland and different things, you know, so, you know, there were some good times. After that, not so much, but yeah. There was some
This is my 11th season, and I think my first year was the best year. That's when they went to the AFC championship game, the second time, and lost the Steelers, 2010.
That was your first year. You weren't there for the 09 run. Okay.
No, I was actually covering the Colts in Indianapolis.
Ah, that's right.
I know.
Oh my God. Would you have seen one playoff team then?
For the Jets, yes.
Jesus Christ. Dex, yes.
Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the bad luck.
Are you saying I'm bad luck, Brian?
No, but here's the thing. Me. But Janae, you got there and they had their best season since 1998. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't know. Dex, I mean, you know, Jets, Knicks. Mets got new ownership, so we can cross our fingers for that, because I'm still a Mets fan. That's the only team from my childhood that I've hung on to. But as far as the Jets and the Knicks go, Dex, I mean, we're going to have to.
It's not good for me.
It's a pandemic, too. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know what's going to happen November 3rd. We were just talking about aliens before this podcast. We got people spying on people. Like, it's crazy out here.
It's crazy.
You know?
Crazy world we got here. Crazy world.
So, Janae, we always do this whenever we have a new journalist, fellow sports reporter on the show. You talked about how you reported in Indianapolis, which I knew before working for SNY and for the Jets as an anchor and reporter. Could you tell people about your background and how you got into sports journalism?
Oh, my goodness. I remember because it was so long ago. I am one of five kids. I have an older brother, younger brother, huge tomboy. I love sports growing up. Played everything from gymnastics to volleyball. I skied, swam, soccer, always active. And went to college. I was actually recruited to play volleyball, D3. But I was like, I just don't really... what am I going to do with this sports thing? How about I wonder if I can like talk about it and get paid to do that. Like watch them talk about it, get paid. Like figured that was like the best route to go because I mean, the athletic career, I was going to have to hang up those cleats eventually. So I went to Quinnipiac, studied broadcast journalism, interned at WTNH. Now there's a reason I'm telling you this later in my story, WTNH with John Pearson. He taught me everything. Like, taught me how to log, tape, shoot, like tell stories. Like he was awesome. So then got my first job in Billings, Montana a news producer. Yeah, as a news producer.
Ooh.
Yep. So when you call me and my phone number is area code 406, that's why I have the Montana number. Because I was like, you know what? I'm not changing my number till I make it to the big city, till I make it to New York. Well, I made it to New York. I'm like, my Montana number is so much cooler.
Man, it's different. It's
right?
Different. I really don't know anyone who has a Montana area code.
Now I think about it, I'm pretty sure Janae is the only person in my phone has a Montana area code. Pretty sure.
There you go. Something even cooler. The entire state of Montana is all area code 406.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
Didn't know that either.
Pretty big state. So
I mean, but it makes sense.
Yeah, right?
I understand that. Yeah.
So I was starting in Billings, Montana, and I got my first sports on-air job in Yuma, Arizona. I was the weekend sports anchor and then reporter. It was awesome. I shot football, like baseball, like, and did all myself, learned the basics. I learned how to like produce, because I think that was really important to learn what goes on behind the scenes before I got to go on air, because I appreciate it so much more. Was there for like 2.5 years and then went to Indianapolis. Was there for 4 years and I loved it. It was awesome. Indianapolis, one of my favorite cities. Like, you talk about like a sports town. I mean, I got to cover so many cool things in Indianapolis. I mean, from the NCAA tournament, I mean, they always are hosting something. They have swimming and diving. I covered Michael Phelps. I covered like Alex Fielson in the track and field. Like, and then, you know, Butler basketball at Hinkle Fieldhouse. Awesome. IU, you know, Assembly Hall. And then their high school basketball games.
I've heard.
I'm not going to lie. There's more fans there than Knicks games. Like, their high school basketball games in Indiana, like, more, like, crazy. And the talent's pretty crazy. So I got to cover, actually, Greg Oden and Mike Conley Jr.
when they went.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, there was their high school. Got to cover them. And then got the job at SNY, and I've been doing that ever since.
Yeah. So, yeah, I see it. I think I only knew about your career in Indianapolis before, in just terms of stuff that we had spoken about and just known that. And I remember, I will say this for people know, everybody knows, when I met Janae, I think I was working for the Post. I was doing a lot of one-man band stuff, and I remember you always saying to me, you know, it's always good that you're learning the stuff behind the scenes, learning how to put it all together. Even though you and I both know, Janae, the one-man band stuff can be grueling at times. You know, it's a lot of work. You know that. But you do learn a lot about producing, and I'm sure that helped you when you worked with some of our good friends and great camera guys at SNY that have done a lot of a good work with you. I'm sure that that helped a lot too.
And you appreciate it more. Like, I appreciate what they do because I was horrible at it. And so I understand like how hard their job is. So.
Yeah, absolutely. You absolutely have an appreciation for it. It's funny because until you said it was 11 years that you've been with the Jets, that just made me be like, damn, it's really been 11? I didn't feel like it had been that long.
I don't have age at all.
No. You're still looking like, great, and the Jets haven't stressed you out, which is the main thing, too. The team hasn't stressed you out.
Exactly.
Does it feel like 11 years, and have you loved, I know you still talked about all the different things you did in Indianapolis, but have you loved just sort of your covering, hosting, doing stuff around one team primarily? What was that adjustment like, and how much have you enjoyed it?
Well, it's funny you say that because that was one of the one things I was like, oh, am I really going to like just focusing on one team? Because in Indianapolis, I got to do it all. But fortunately here at SNY, like, yeah, Jets are my main thing. But in the off season, I get to anchor Gecko Sports Night. I still get to go to, you know, the Rangers, the Knicks, I cover UConn women's basketball. I've been able to do a lot of different things. Even the Belmont Stakes, I got to. So it's nice that in my off season, I still get to do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure I would have actually liked being that reporter for one team.
Yeah, I can see that. You need a little bit of diversity into it as well. All right, Brian, you ready to talk about the Jets?
No, but I think I'm more ready than you, actually. Before we even get into that, Janae, I wanted to bring something up. This, okay. Dexter, this is where you're going to roll your eyes.
I
want to say that so far, I have two real Adam Gase moments that I really appreciate in his tenure with the Jets. One is obviously his thing with the eyes in his introduction, the world-famous GIF, whatever. Two is you did the segment, I believe it was this past Tuesday, where you, Janae, were talking to Adam Gase and Joe Douglas about wrestling. And,
that was actually last training camp.
Last training camp,
yep. They redid it. They put it out again for our time machine.
Okay, so that's why it was posted 6 days ago. So last training camp. Hey, look, both of them came last season before everything that happened this season. You know what I mean? So it all ties in together. But professional wrestling. And everyone there, obviously, you know, like the conversation, like how it was going. Every time I bring up wrestling on this podcast, Dexter rolls his eyes. There's a reason for that.
Why?
And yeah, this is what I'm saying. I feel like.
I grew up WWF. Like,
that's fine.
Hulk Hogan, like Big Boss Man. Like, I went to the Steel Cage match. Like, Jake the Snake Roberts, Travis McRude.
So, I have two follow-ups.
Hold on 1 second, Brian. Hold on a second. I have to make sure. It's because Janae just kind of put it out there that at least I don't want to put words in her mouth, but it seems like you were a wrestling fan. Are you still
seems like it.
Are you still a wrestling fan?
Not really.
So
you
grew up. Okay, I see.
No. WWE, and it became more of like a soap opera. Like, I liked it when it was like wrestling.
I agree with you.
Demolition
Man.
Like, yes. I like all those.
Yeah, I like the Big Bang Bigelow.
I watch
Ultimate Warrior
sometimes. I sometimes will watch, like, but it's more like, I don't know, like a soap opera more.
So here
are my follow-ups. All right, when around the time period, like, even if you could pinpoint the year, what was the time that you sort of fell out of it?
Probably when it became WWE, to be honest with you. Like,
wow, so that was 2002. All right, let me say this. This is what I said.
No, maybe a little before then.
Okay, so maybe the end of the Attitude Era, which would make sense. That's what a lot of people.
Maybe like when, like, Hulk Hogan and those guys kind of left.
Okay, makes sense.
I don't know when that was. Okay.
Right. So my question is this. Have you seen anything like NXT, any of the more recent stuff that has been going on that they've been playing?
I haven't.
Let me tell you. NXT is really good. I don't watch Raw or SmackDown anymore. NXT is their developmental sort of system where they put like the newer indie wrestlers. If you see, if you want to see real wrestling, that's where you go.
Especially, okay, where did Pat McAfee? What did he?
That was NXT. That was NXT.
Okay, so I covered him in Indianapolis, and I'm really good friends with him.
Oh,
okay,
wow.
So
and Pat McAfee was also really good in that one match he had. You would think that he's been doing it for years because he's an insane talent. Yeah, yeah. And I would say that the best, like, because I've gone to a couple SummerSlams with my brother, other pay-per-views, NXTs and stuff. The best thing that I've ever seen live was probably the first NXT TakeOver, which was in 2015, which was in the Barclays Center. Best match I've probably seen live was Sasha Banks and Bayley. They were fighting for the NXT Women's Championship. It was not a ladder match. It was actually just a regular match that they just went crazy. So it was really good. Dexter, I think you should watch that too. You have a daughter. You should show her that these women are just as good as the men on a lot of nights. Sasha Banks and Bayley killed it. It was one of the best matches I've ever seen and the best one I've ever seen in person.
Real quick, I'll tell you a really funny story. So when I was in Indianapolis, I lived downtown Indianapolis. And Chris Hagan, he is the Fox sports anchor, called me and was like, it was a huge snowstorm. He's like, Janae, what are you doing tonight? I'm like, nothing. Why? He's like, I need you to do something for me, but you can't say no. Because like, I have these tickets, the roads are closed. Like, you just, I need you to go because I need to. I'm like, okay, well, I'm like, what is he? He's like, no, I'm not going to tell you because you're going to tell me no. I'm like, just tell me what it is. He's like, I got two tickets to the WWE down it was Conseco Fieldhouse. I'm like, what? I go, oh my gosh, Undertaker's in town. You're kidding me? Wait, where are the seats? And he's like, wait, you know what I'm talking about? I'm like, are you kidding me? Like Undertaker, who was the big tall guy? I can't think of his name.
Big Show?
Yeah, Kane. The Big Show was there. Yes, Big Show. Everything. We got front row, like ringside, what? Ringside. Yeah, but I don't recommend it.
We normally don't sit that close.
You can see the tapping on the shoulder. You can see. Yeah, you can see that it's real.
But if you know that it's a live action movie, then I feel like I don't think it would take that much away from it.
No,
I called it a live action movie. That's what I
got
it,
to see Undertaker perform. That's all I wrestle. So
I did too. I got to see his entrance later on. I think it was
Chris
at a
Hagan summer. Will still tell the stories like, Janae, like, you shocked. I never thought that you would be. Because I was like, what? You have tickets? Oh my God. When are you picking me up? And he's like, oh. Okay, great. This is fantastic.
I got to be honest with you guys. I'm shocked by all of this. Janae, this is the most enthusiastic I've heard any guest on this podcast chat with Brian about wrestling. I'm shocked. Well,
again, maybe if you didn't wait till 147, I didn't have to like guilt you into it, maybe you would have known.
Man.
Anyways, we're talking about the Jets now. Sorry, keep going.
No, we were talking about wrestling. I mean, Brian, I don't know if you did your homework on Janae or you knew Janae was a former wrestling fan, but you got the energy you wanted with this. You definitely did. Wow. Well, Janae, I have to ask you. I want to have a follow-up question. So that was a good note about why it might not be good to sit that close. Did you enjoy the experience despite that, though? Like, did you feel like it was a good experience for that wrestling match?
I did. It was. I mean, I remember I was like, I think I was 10. My brother was 12. My youngest brother was 6. My neighbor was my age, and for Easter, my parents got us tickets to, it was a match in Montreal. It was a Big Boss Man against Hulk Hogan steel cage match. And we were like up and like the nosebleeds. And I, to this day, remember the excitement I had. Like, it was one of my favorite things. Like, my brothers and I were so excited. We would get up every Saturday morning, watch wrestling. Once a month, the Saturday night wrestling event.
Hey everybody, Brian Fonseca here to tell you about the multi-time award-winning series out now that is Side Hustle, which is created, executive produced, hosted, and edited by me, Brian Fonseca. Side Hustle is a sit-down interview series that taps into sacrifice, the odd avenues taken to progress closer to your ultimate dreams, and some jokes as well.
because you know, we always gotta find funny, and we always gotta find time to laugh. Side Hustle has been named to the best TV and web series category at several different film festivals, including the 2020 International New York Film Festival, the New York Movie Awards, and a host of others. Be sure to watch season one in full right now on either brianfonseca.net or youtube.com/brianfonseca. Brian with a Y, remember. All 8 episodes, trailers, teasers, and promo are free to watch, and the series as a whole is approximately 2 hours long. Everyone has a story, everyone has a side hustle. Be sure to watch season 1, out now.
Janae, right now, obviously covering football in a pandemic, it's been a little bit different in terms of media coverage, and I've been asking my fellow reporter friends in all different sports, how has that adjustment been for them? I just told you, I was talking with somebody earlier today about that as well, too. How has it been for you covering the team with the access not being the same that, you know, we're usually used to?
It's 100% weird. I mean, it's crazy. Like, I went to my first home game Sunday, and, like, there's no fans in the stand. Like, that's the craziest feeling, and you're like, what is going on? And it's Zoom calls, and I like being talking to someone face to face. You always get a feel of that person. You understand, you can read their emotions. Like, that's the type of reporter I am. So it's very hard doing these interviews, Zoom calls, especially after games where you want that emotion. You want to feel, you want to see it in their face, not like over Zoom where they can just, you know, look somewhere else and walk away. Like, they don't have to have interaction with you. It's hard. I mean, but hey, it's the world we're in. We have to stay safe. I'm just glad we have football and we can cover a team and we can, and the Jets have been phenomenal about helping us do what we need to do in the situation they're in, because their job cannot be easy. The PR staff.
Yeah. And PR staff was always good with the Jets, but that's nice. That's good to know that they're taking care of the reporters, because it can't be easy doing everything that they're doing.
Yeah. And you're not in Dallas, where I would imagine you would probably be a little bit more nervous, being that there are 25,000 fans in the seats at the game yesterday. And I think Jacksonville is another stadium where they're trying to obviously have fans. So, I mean, you know, there are worse, or not worse, but maybe worse, but situations around the league that aren't as safe, I would say, I guess. But
yeah, I feel very safe. I feel very safe. They've done a great job, but it's just weird.
But do you feel like, I mean, do you feel like you're still getting out of it what you would want? You know what I mean by that? Like, you're still...
I'm getting out of it what I can get out of it. Because it's not as... I mean, you have to make the best of the situation. We all do. So, hey, I still get to talk to players after the game. I still get to... In fact, to be honest with you, it's a little easier because sometimes you get more players because they're just Zoom calls. Not necessarily after the games, but during the week. Like, because they can go any time of the day. Like, I don't have to wait around the facility all hours of the day. They can be like, hey, like, I got an interview with Mekhi Becton last Tuesday at, like, 7:30 at night. Because that's how you could do it. Where if it wasn't through Zoom, I would have never gotten him. So, you know, you take the good with the bad.
Now, that's a good point. Because, Janae, you and I remember the days of waiting for players. And sometimes you even having a longer day than I, and being there long after waiting to record things or do things, and those can be long days at the facility. So I have to ask you this. Coming into the season, what were your expectations for this team, the Jets team that you cover? What did you think they could do? You know, what do you think the best situation of the season could be for them?
I mean, you looked at their schedule. You knew it was going to be a tough schedule. I mean, it's crazy. I thought they could be at least 6-10. And to be honest with you, I think that's actually a good record for them because of the teams they're facing. Like, I don't think that would have been a disappointing season because, again, you have Kansas City, you have Seattle, you have 49ers, you have the Bills that are a lot better than they were. You know, you still have New England twice a year, which everybody's like, well, Brady's not there. But I'm sorry, you still have Bill Belichick there. And until you knock him off, like, I don't want to hear it.
And Cam. So,
exactly. That's just it. I thought Sam Darnold would take that next step because it's his second year in Adam's offense. He's been more comfortable. But then again, he has a new offensive line. So, and they didn't have, you know, OTAs. They didn't have a real preseason. You don't have preseason games. And who was he throwing to was the big question. Like, but again, I still thought Sam could take that next step forward. But I just feel like these last 2 weeks, like, I've been shocked that they've come out so flat and so look so unprepared and so non-competitive. And I expected their defense to be a little better. I mean, I know they lost Jamal Adams and I know CJ Mosley. Those were two key points, but yeah, you saw Greg Williams there. Like, and I thought the defense played well week one, but I was surprised this past Sunday. Like, I know it's week two and everybody wants to push that panic button, but the energy's not there is what I'm saying. I want to see that fight. I want to see a little more of that.
Yeah, what was your reaction to the first play of the game yesterday, where Raheem Mostert gets the end around?
So 17 seconds into the game.
You missed the play, didn't you?
So me and my producer are in a suite because we have to do a post-game show, so we're not in the press box. So like we're getting the TV on. And then, like, you can kind of see, and I was getting my notes, and I was getting everything right, and we had just got done doing, like, post-game stuff or pre-game stuff. So I was like, and all of a sudden I look up, and I was like, and of course there's no fans. So we don't hear any booing or yelling or screaming.
Right.
And I'm looking, and I was like, I go to my producer, and no one's around. It's me and my producer. And I go, John, I think the 49ers just scored. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, no, we couldn't figure out the phone. We couldn't figure out how to turn the volume up on the TV. So, like, you just saw this man, you saw him, was it, like, running down. I'm like, oh, are they, like, practicing? Like, I think I tweeted, what just happened? And I literally was like, what just happened?
And that's that's the awkwardness, like,
you kidding me?
That's the awkwardness, like you said, Janae, of not having the crowd. Because if the crowd was there, you would have known.
The fans would have been like,
right,
you would have heard, you would have known something would have happened.
Right.
So I was like, wait, are we? And then you're like, wait, is this a scrimmage? Like, then you have to, like, put yourself back. Like, no, this is a real game. That really did happen. Let's hope this gets a little better. 17 seconds in, we're already like, oh, dear God, here we go again.
And it ended up being a very long day for the Jets. You brought up something that I've agreed with looking at the team through the first 2 weeks. Outscored 58-30. As you said, the defense didn't look that bad in week one. But you used the word, I think, lifeless is what you said. They just didn't have a lot of energy out there. And with all that, the fans are now antsy. And so the fans want to know, should we be getting rid of Gase? Is he on the hot seat? You know, and you made another great point, Janae, that this is week two. And you know this is the week. You've been covering this for a long time. Everybody's willing to push the panic button in week two. Should Jets fans be pushing the panic button in week two, or should they calm down just a little bit?
He's asking for himself, by the way.
I'm not.
I mean, Christopher Johnson spoke to us. I was there last Wednesday, and he said, listen, he was disappointed in week one, but Gase is his guy. He has full confidence in Gase, has full confidence in this team. He thinks he's an offensive genius. Gase isn't going anywhere. He has Christopher Johnson's back, at least for the season. Like, the Jets don't make in-season changes that often. I think it only happened once. So, I mean, Jets fans, you got to stick it through. I mean, I like Joe Douglas a lot. I think it got it. I mean, and again, I know every team is in the same boat, but the Jets didn't have a preseason, didn't have OTAs, didn't, you know, you have a brand new offensive line. Like, trying to be positive here. Am I working, Dexter? Am I working?
No.
So you don't think Dexter should give up his fandom?
Janae's not going to say that.
Here, listen. I love Marcus May. I think he's unbelievable. I love Mekhi Becton. I love Avery Williamson. I love Chris Herndon. I love, you know, Sam Darnold. I think you have some really good pieces. And they just have to come together. And you have Joe Douglas, who's a great GM. Like I said, you have solid pieces. They just have to come together.
Yeah. I mean, the Jet fans push back on that, Janae. They're going to say, oh, well, we've been waiting, same old Jets, you know, the lack of the confidence there. You're preaching patience, which I think is fine.
Well, like I said, you got good guys to root for. I mean, who can't root for Marcus May? He's an awesome guy.
Right.
I mean, who can't root for Mekhi Becton? He's 6'8 and just smiles all the time. Like, and can crush you in a heartbeat. I've never seen a man that big move as fast as he does.
When you're doing the post game show yesterday and back on Sunday, excuse me for people who are listening to this later, but on Sunday, and you're hearing the sound come from the team after, and you're hearing from Gase and everything he had to say, how would you characterize the mood of the team? Still positive and upbeat, or, you know, I wouldn't expect them to be hanging their heads down after being 0-2, but what do you think the mood of the team is right now?
I think because it's week two, I don't think they can panic quite yet. I don't think they can panic because you still have, that's a long 14 weeks, 15 if you throw in that bye week. I mean, do you want to be this same old Jets? I mean, they can't – players – and this is another thing that drives me crazy. Players just don't give up. This is their livelihood.
Right.
They're not going to go out there and be like, oh, we're going to lose. Let's give up now. Like they want to make other teams. They're trying their best. Like,
yeah.
So, again, it's hard to watch sometimes. It was not easy to watch that game. There wasn't a lot of positives in that game on Sunday. But there are some few positives. My water bottle.
That is a good. Really, that's a good time. Right, that is a good time for you to get the water. Go ahead, Brian.
I mean, you know, I think. So let me ask you this, Janae. If this season were to turn out to be kind of like the Dolphins season of last year, where they started off really bad, they were kind of the laughing stock of the NFL. They were maybe the worst team in the league for the first half of the season or whatever. But then they ended off really strong, got a couple of big wins, and it was like, oh, we have a coach. We might have this. We might have that. Is that something that Jet fans could look forward to? Even
but
though,
but here's the thing: you can't compare that. That Dolphins team, they got rid of all of their stars. They were meaning to tank. Like that was the MO last year.
Right. I mean,
the Dolphins came up and snuck up and like surprised a lot of people because they fought and they played and they wanted to. Like, like I said, Marcus May is. I love watching Marcus May. I love Clemens. I think Sam Darnold has the potential to be your guy. I just think all the pieces need to click.
All right. I mean, that's fine. With that being said, Janae, how big is week three for this team? They're going to it's must wins. If you can't drop to 0-3, it can't happen.
I think they could beat the Colts, by the way. I do. So
I think they could be. I think the Colts are going to be tough. You're in Indy, and the Colts just pummeled the Vikings. And the Colts have a really good defense and a very good offense. I think they could win. I think they could get that Thursday night game because then they come back home and play Denver Thursday night at home.
Mm. Yeah, Drew Lock. I think Drew Lock. Will Drew Lock still be out by that time?
Yeah, it's 10 days away, I think. Is it 10 days away, I think?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Probably.
I mean, they should probably
sign. Then again, Jimmy G was out, and
right.
Nick Bosa was out.
And they still did not look like they had any energy. So, yeah, that's where the Jets fan doesn't have much hope. Looking around the league, Janae, first 2 weeks, has anybody surprised you around the league where you're like, oh, wow, I'm really impressed that of this team or what's happening? I know it's only 2 weeks, but has anybody surprised you?
This somewhat surprised me, but not really. But, well, Cam Newton. Like, it's almost like you expect it because it's Belichick and it's the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, don't forget, this guy wasn't signed until, what, June?
Yep.
Yeah.
You make $1 million, that's it? Like,
yeah.
This man's like, they almost beat Seattle last night. Well, that was such a great game.
Fantastic game, yeah.
I mean, I just like watching, I hate saying that, but I like watching Cam do what he's doing in the Patriots. Also, I love that Chargers game yesterday.
Yep.
I mean, I hated they lost, but that rookie quarterback from Oregon.
Justin Herbert.
He looked phenomenal. I love watching these young quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes, he's a whole different breed of quarterbacks, and I love it. You can't have that passing quarterback anymore.
No, you can't. Yeah. You have to be a dual threat. Cam, New England now has a threat they've never had before. Cam looks great, and all the GMs that didn't either call him for a workout or anything. It's kind of crazy, Janae, right? And that there's other dudes who got more guaranteed money than he did this offseason. That's also not looking really good. I mean, he's a bargain, but as long as he's healthy, somebody might have to pay him next year. That's for sure.
That's the typical Belichick way, right?
Yeah, that is.
I'll use you for a year, and then you go bye-bye.
It's true. So, if we have to ask you the last Jets thing, do the Jets turn this? Do they turn it around in any way? Can they get to 6-10? Do you see that happening?
Dexter, look at what you're asking for, though. Like, can they get to 6-10?
I mean, but Janae said
I think that would be a successful season.
I agree.
Honestly, do you see their schedule?
I agree with you.
Yeah, I have.
December. They're in LA twice. They're Seattle.
I agree, but I'm just saying, I'm just saying it's such a Jet fan thing. You know where I'm going. To just be like, yo, can we get 6-10? I think putting even record aside, for me, what I would like to see out of them is just Sam Darnold proving, we should keep him. You know what I mean?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Listen, it has to get better. It can't get worse. I mean, we're in week two. But put, like you said, put the record aside. I want to see Sam Darnold make that next step, take that next step. I want to see Chris Herndon, too. Like, I love this kid.
So do I.
I want him. I don't understand why he's not being used more, but I'm not a coach, and I have no idea.
It's for the offensive genius to figure that out.
Yeah. I think the Jets, I am hopeful. I mean, where else can they go? Can you get any lower?
Yes.
My glass is half full.
Your glass is half full. There we go.
Because my thing was like, I was diehard up until 2015. And then when I was like, I just had enough. At 2015, and they went 10-6 that year. And my thing was like, I was really invested in seeing if they could have a quarterback developed on their own. Like, I thought Mark Sanchez at one point.
Yeah.
You were going to cut me off.
I was going to say, the problem is what happened is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and well, the thing that ruined the Jets that year was the punch, Geno's punch.
Oh, you're going right into Brian's wheelhouse with this.
No, but I'm saying that's what happened.
I agree, you're right.
Geno wouldn't have gotten punched. Mm-hmm. They would have had a bad year. Then they would have been able to draft. Todd Bowles would have had his, be able to build the team he wanted. But instead, Ryan Fitzpatrick took over, had a little Fitzmagic, and you had to re-sign him the following year.
So I actually thought that Geno Smith was going to have the Ryan Fitzpatrick season that Ryan Fitzpatrick ended up having or something like that. Because he did, that was the first year that I felt like he actually had the weapons around him in order to do so. And Ryan Fitzpatrick being a veteran was just able to take advantage of that. Of course, we'll never know because he then tore his ACL the next year and now he's backing up Russell Wilson, still getting paid. So there's that. But like, there was the Mark Sanchez thing. There was Geno Smith and he wasn't even supposed to start right away. But then obviously Mark Sanchez got hurt and all that stuff. And then with Ryan Fitzpatrick, I was like, I ain't rooting for this shit, honestly. And I know he played good that year. I was like, all the things that they're doing, I'm like, I'm just not doing this. And then the next year it got worse because Ryan Fitzpatrick fell back down to earth. I don't remember if they finished 4-12 or whatever it was. And then they got Darnold and it was like, I'm just not going to keep, like, I just don't care enough. Like, I'm not going to keep putting myself through this. And also, like, in comparison to other sports, football is not like my favorite sport. So I'm just kind of like, eh, whatever. But you know, Dexter hasn't been able to let it go, which is surprising to me because he's not really the biggest football guy either, but you know, it is what it is.
You know, I grew up rooting for them, Janae. I still hope that they win. I'm not as invested.
There's some great people to root for that team.
Yeah.
There always is. But you know, I didn't want to root for Salim Hakeem and Clyde Gates as my 2 and 3 receivers. I just didn't.
That was a dark time, Janae.
Listen, that 2013 receiving core really scarred me. Like it really
obviously, I didn't even remember. I mean,
with Jeremy Curley, because I love
Jeremy Curley.
Jeremy's a good dude.
The only one that I really like because they had David Nelson was their number two. They gave Geno Smith a number two receiver of David Nelson in his rookie season and expected him to whatever. I was surprised they finished 8-8 that year. That's a whole nother story. But yeah, I'm scarred from the receiving core, and I was like, what quarterback is going to do anything with this? And on top of that, their offensive line was.
But see, Janae is telling you about the great guys in this team to root for. Maybe you can come on back. Hopefully, when you come back on the podcast, maybe Brian will come back to being a Jet fan. Maybe that'll happen.
Okay. So, what, 3-4 years from now?
Wow. As soon as I said that, I was like, I just opened myself up to the shade. I don't even know why I said that. I have no idea why I said that at all.
You know how you get me to come back to my Jet fandom is you just find a Jet, tell me he's Puerto Rican, and then I might be in.
All right, we'll work on that.
And you give me a football player then.
yeah. Good luck with that.
That's the thing. It's like, you know, we box, we play baseball, and we play basketball. We don't, you know, football. Not really. Like that's. Mexicans got that on lock for us, for the Latinos, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah. Janae, before we get you out of here, got to ask you about your husband, who played for the Bulls, was in The Last Dance. And, you know, there were some scenes where, you know, Michael Jordan was giving him a hard time. How was it for you watching The Last Dance and seeing that?
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Like, first of all, I was like 18 years old. I was in high school. Like, I didn't even know the kid. And people were like, how's his wife? Dude, I met him like 6 years ago. Like, it was like 30 years ago. I thought it was great. I think it was awesome. Like, just Michael Jordan's like awesome. You know what I'm saying? Like be able to say I played with Michael Jordan. How many people get to say that I won a championship with Michael Jordan? And how many people get to say Michael Jordan like ripped on me? You know what I'm saying? Like
in a documentary.
In a documentary, like I mean, we joke. Scott and I joke all the time. Like Scott was on that team for 1 year, and he had more scenes in that than like other people. Like obviously Michael liked Scott, or else he wouldn't have been in. You know what I'm like? So. It's just, it's funny because Scott would be texting Mike MJ and be like, hey, thanks for boosting up my cred right now. Like, you know, again, I thought it was awesome. I think you need more athletes like Michael Jordan, obviously. And Scott learned so much from Michael. And it was nice to, because I didn't know Scott as a basketball player. I knew him as a coach. That I don't know him as, you know, the UConn guy. I didn't know him as that. I didn't know him as, you know, the first ever athlete to be drafted in the first round of two professional sports. I just knew him as Southern Connecticut's head coach, you know?
Yeah.
So it was nice to see like that competitor, like, damn, he really was a good athlete.
Yeah.
Like, dang, I thought my kids got the athletic ability from mom. Guess not.
You're like, no. It's from dad. And I feel like a lot of the conversation around it, Janae, was like, oh, well, like Michael Jordan was too hard on him. And you and I mean, all of us who've played sports at least on a high school level and even had some, like me, I had some D3 basketball shots. You want that kind of intensity. Who wouldn't want that? I didn't understand the people who were like, well, how can he talk to Scott like that? And I was like, I didn't know Scott, but I was like, hey, I don't think Scott's bothered by this at all.
He loved it. He wants that. He was like, if I didn't want, I would have been traded. Like,
right.
Michael Jordan saw something in him and knew that he needed to get better. He's like, he only pushed the people he wanted to get better. So why wouldn't you want that in yourself?
And he ended up helping them win also.
Exactly. So. And like Scott said, he punched Steve Kerr in the face. Like, so he made fun of me? Like,
yeah, Scott's like, I didn't get punched in the face. That's a good point. Exactly. That's a good point. There was worse that could have happened. Right.
He called me out and it was like, call me Baby Rodman. All right, cool. Like, yelled at me, said I need to do a little more. Like, okay.
What did you think of that documentary overall?
I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it too.
I mean, I'll be honest. I felt like they should have broke it up. I don't think they should have done two episodes a week. But they extended it. Right?
10 weeks? Maybe.
Yeah. But it came at the perfect time. Like, it was... I wanted more, to be honest with you.
I can understand that.
I've been kind of feeling like that lately because I want to rewatch it probably around the holidays, but I kind of feel like, man, I feel like there's so much stuff like that's maybe extended footage or whatever that we haven't seen. And what the people wanted a lot of, what I've noticed, was those scrimmages. They're saying that that's all they had of the scrimmages, but the scrimmages of, I think it was on the set of Space Jam. Yeah. Those scrimmages because of all the players that were there, and I could only imagine. I also doubt that that's all the footage that they had. I think that's a flat lie.
Well, someone at SNY, he used to work at the NBA TV, and there was a room in Secaucus that was locked. You weren't allowed in. Like,
I can confirm that is true. I can tell you that is absolutely true.
So how cool? I mean, you're telling us. I mean, come on.
Yeah, there are very few people who have seen. There are very few people who have seen that footage. And when I used to work for the Giants, there was one of my bosses there used to work for the NBA. And he had told me, this is back in 2010, Janae, about the work of The Last Dance, like way before. He told me, and he was like, there's all this footage that nobody's ever seen. And very few people in the NBA have even touched this. So I know that's true.
When Scott and I started dating, he actually had a clip of that. I saw that footage before it aired this year. So, I mean... He knew what his role was. He knew the role he was playing on this documentary.
Right.
So.
Right.
So it's funny. I told you I'd come back to you. So John Pearson, the guy I worked with at WTNH.
Yes.
He's the one who hooked Scott and I up.
Get out of here. So he's like.
Full circle.
So it's great.
He used to cover. He covered Scott.
Wow.
And he interviewed Scott the year he was, when Scott got named head coach of Southern Connecticut. He sent me the tape so I could, like, we would send each other, we still critique each other's tapes now.
Like,
well, reels, not tape, they weren't tapes anymore. But
right.
I was like, who's the cutie? Who's the hottie?
So
the rest is history.
So you kind of shot your shot there, though, because you kind of let him know you were interested, and he came through.
Well, it's funny because So then, like, so John's like, oh my gosh, I'm single. Yeah, I think you guys would be perfect for each other. This other guy kind of got involved from Quinnipiac because I worked at Quinnipiac and Scott used to coach at Quinnipiac, not at the same time.
Yeah.
So I was like, they're like, oh, so this guy's like, oh yeah. John's like, okay, yeah, Scott will, Scott interested. Here's his number. He said, call you. And I was like, oh no, I don't call him. He can call me if he wants to talk to me.
Hey.
So he called me.
Well,
so
I like well played.
He called me first, even though I stalked him. I like.
It's all no, it's good. I like Janae. I like that you. I like you made a move.
You
yes.
Like, well, you got Burrell, Janae. He played for the Bulls. I'm like, he did? No, he didn't. He's a coach at Quinnipiac. He's like, no, I'm almost positive that's the same Scott Burrell. She Googled him and found out it was him.
And Michelle would know because she was a big Bulls fan growing up. Huge Bulls fan growing up, as she would know. Janae,
you can have, next time you on, you can get Scott on. You can have.
We'll make that happen. We'd love to have Scott on and talk to him about it. And
it's why I'm on the
podcast. Well, that's not the reason you're on this podcast, Janae. It's not the reason.
Yo, Dex, you almost fell for that too.
I did. Yeah, I did. She almost got me. She almost got me.
I saw it like 5 seconds ago.
And here's, I'm going to let people know this. This what up, Janae? Throwing all the shade at me, which is deserved. I have never seen this side of Janae before. I've never seen this much shade. Being thrown at me. Janae is the nicest person out there. Not saying that she's not a nice person, but, you know, I deserved it, and it is what it is. So I have to make sure it doesn't take...
That's 205 episodes.
Oh, God.
...canceled on you, and my friends had to, like, guilt you into it. Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping the next time we can have three of my favorite female journalists on, you, yourself, Michelle, and Sarah. We should have all of you guys on, make it a party. Because you guys have a lot of fun. Anytime... All the pictures I would see on IG and stuff, I'm like, man, they're always having fun. Always.
They're good people. Good people.
They're great. No, they're fantastic people. And you are amazing too. I appreciate you. You are doing an amazing job with the Jets still on SNY. I'm always
stay
watching.
Stay positive.
I'm trying. Look, in 2020, we got to stay positive, Janae. Have to.
Yes. And we'll watch some WWE. And I'll watch some WWE. Or wait, no. NXT. So next time we can chat.
WWE is fine too. I just watch the pay per views only. I don't really watch Raw and SmackDown because the pay per views is like you don't want as many segments. You want to see more wrestling, exactly. Right?
Yeah. I did not know Janae was a big wrestling fan. This was a eye opening episode for me. Janae, thank you. We appreciate you for coming on.
You,
and I will have you on a lot sooner next time. That's a promise.
Oh, sorry, I'm not holding my breath.
Oh, man. Really? No love? All right.
By the way, yes. Real quick, Brian, Jake the Snake, what's his snake's name?
Oh, damn. I know this, too.
I'll leave you on that. I'll see you later.
All right. Know this, too. I'm tight.
Dexter knows I told Dexter.
I know now, but that means you don't know. That means you're not a real wrestling fan, Brian.
Well, you also have to remember, like...
10 years ago.
And
he's younger. You're much
younger. When Jake the Snake, yeah, I don't know how old I look, but like when Jake the Snake left, was it early 90s? He came back, I believe, in 96. I was 2, you know?
Yeah, so that says a lot.
Oh, we're not friends anymore, Dexter. I'll talk to you later.
Like a baby. He is a baby. He is.
I'm 26. Like, what?
Did you see Janae's face?
Talk about Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage and Elizabeth and Andre the Giant when you were thought about.
Because I'm a historian. Although I just don't know Jake the Snake's name.
You're not a real historian then.
I can go through the WrestleMania 3 main event. Like I can go through Stone Cold was my
guy. You did not tell me that he was like a baby.
Let me ask you,
Janae, this is important then. How old do you think I was up until this point?
Ah, that's a good question.
That is a very good question because I just kind of thought we were all the same age.
Yeah, we are not.
Really? Holy shit.
Do you think we're old?
I don't think I act like my age.
So they're saying that we're old.
No, yeah. I'm saying I'm not as mature as you guys.
Oh, well, that's fair.
Dex,
you know black don't crack, so that, you look great. I got those half jeans in me.
You
so
do? And,
I don't
and, and Janae. It's not cracking for you. You look great, too. So, it's fine.
So, I mean, so I always think, like, Dex and I are, like, in our 30s, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, young 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would believe that. Absolutely.
But see, what should be going for you is Janae actually
thought
you
were. Wait, Dex, how old are you?
I am 37. I'll be 38 next April.
Oh, dear God. Okay.
Janae, I know you. I'm not saying your age. I know you are.
I'm 41.
A little,
it's okay. I'm proud of it.
Okay, fine. Because sometimes 41. People. Are, I knew I'm you were a little bit older than me, but I just didn't know by how much. So that's all.
Okay. I mean, I could be his mother.
Yeah, no, that is true. That is true.
And I mean, I'd be a young mother, but.
I mean, I got a family member that gave birth at 15, so I get it.
Yeah.
So do
I. But
person shall remain anonymous.
But here's the thing, Brian. Janae did not think you were old, and you know
I didn't think you were old, but I didn't think you were that young.
Yeah.
Does that make
sense? That makes sense. I see it. That makes sense.
You were talking wrestling like you knew, like you lived the moments with me. I thought you were living these moments with me. So that's like, why I thought you were.
So let me, like, Dexter's heard me talk about boxing from the 80s before. I've studied, you know, I've just,
that's
like.
Awesome. Good for you, because you had me fooled.
Like, part of, like, this is a sports and hip-hop podcast predominantly. I could talk about stuff from 1991 and 1994 like I was around for.
And he's pretty knowledgeable on it. I'll give him credit.
No, he's very knowledgeable on WWF, like when it was WWF.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he's
back when that. When you were born, WWF was World Wildlife Federation. So.
Yeah.
And Trish Stratus was my first crush. You know what I mean? So it is what it is.
He loves me. I'm telling you, Janae, I don't know what you did something definitely different for this podcast because you were the first person to come here and really talk wrestling with that energy and bring a lot of good positivity to the Jets, which I appreciate. Janae,
I gotta put my children in bed.
Yes, so, you do. Thank you. So we're letting you go. Janae, thank you for joining us. Appreciate you. Be safe, be well, and you will be back on here soon.
All right.
Take care, sister. All right. Bye bye.
See you in 2022. See you in 2022. Bye.
Bye.